Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
The first half, an 18-point advantage. Well, they came right at us, but I like where we are.
Can't you see? Don't you know what I am? I'm a man with a plan, and it's time you understand.
Puts it in, and it's their first lead since it was 2-0.
That's a great thing. They're going to go and run. That's how you respond. But don't put your head down. Just keep going.
Tatum drives inside, lays it in. Smart corner three. Bang! Boston Celtics take game three. They're 2 wins away from a title.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are presented by Progressive Insurance and coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Guys, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Marcus Smart, the first trio since the 1984 Lakers.
Showtime.
To have 25-5 each in a finals game. So Kareem, Magic, and Michael Cooper in 84. Each went for at least 20 points, 5 boards, 5 assists.
Yeah.
Before that, two different Celtics groupings with Russell and Havlicek and Max.
You know,
yeah.
I wasn't born.
Right. Russell and Havlicek and Jones, you know, like it's by the way, I think it's pretty obvious how you define modern NBA. The absorption of the ABA teams, the 3-point shot, right? Like that's when the modern NBA started.
No, the modern NBA, all you got to do is say, I wasn't born. 1966.
There are 8 teams in the league.
Havlicek stole the ball.
Stats Incredible is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. But when you do something that hasn't been done since 1984, that's a big deal. I mean, like, they got contributions spread out nicely. Even the Warriors' third quarter rush wasn't enough. Although, I really thought the Warriors were going to win that game. When they came on and Steph put them ahead with that three, I'm like, oh, here we go. But it didn't happen. The Celtics are resilient.
Go ahead, Key.
I'm waiting on you to
do the thing, man. You got a Lakers mention now during the NBA Finals? I mean,
you told me don't talk about the Lakers during the NBA Finals.
Yeah, well, I mean,
see,
I thought
that they're blowing horns on me and everything.
I didn't tell them to blow
the horn. Let me put it this way.
I didn't tell them to blow the horn.
Look. Here's the thing. There are a bunch of themes. Draymond didn't play well. Klay did. And also the third quarter stuff. I want to talk about Klay for a second.
But the problem with that is, though, when you have one guy playing well that didn't play well the week before, but then you have a guy like Jordan Poole who hasn't played well, you're gonna have your back and forth, your mixed matches. You look at game two. Who didn't play well for the Celtics in game two? The same guys that played well in game three. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a huge back and forth. We're going to see this next game on Friday night. All of a sudden, Klay may play well. Jordan Poole may come to the party. And Draymond might all of a sudden play better than he did in game three. Now you got the Warriors winning.
I did want to make this comment about the Celtics for a second because I think it's right to talk about the team that actually won the game. And we talked a lot about the Warriors, and obviously those narratives are important. But, look, there's no doubt to me that Jason Tatum has it feels like he has the highest ceiling offensively for what he can be, Key. Max?
Yeah,
like
on the Celtics.
On the Celtics, yes, the Celtics. Yeah. Like, he's a superstar. But, like, don't get it twisted, man. A lot of the identity of this team is wrapped up in Jaylen Brown and who Jaylen Brown is. Like, he is the attitude for this team. If that's the beginning of the fourth in game one where he goes bonkers, he picks up the slap when Jason Tatum is not having a great game, he's not shooting the ball well. If that's setting the tone last night in the first quarter, ends up having 17 points in the first – like the way he attacks his athletic ability, the way he can defend. I mean, first quarter, he was the best player on the floor,
hands down, on both the defensive and offensive side. Heading into the finals, Jay, a lot of the question was, so you know who Batman is on each team. which Robin was going to show up bigger. That would determine the series. And you're right about Jaylen Brown. Klay Thompson, I would not call that his supernova game.
I don't call Jaylen Brown Batman, man.
You mean Robin?
No, Robin.
You think it's like Batman and Batman?
I kind of.
You think it's like Shaq and Kobe? They're both
about the same. I kind of feel it's a little bit Superman and Batman.
Superman and Batman.
Okay. It feels like Jason Tatum has the ability to be Superman, right? But it feels like Batman is still a legit superhero. Like he's among the elite elite. And that's elite who Jaylen Brown is.
Yeah.
But the reason you talk about, we talk about Tatum first is because Tatum has superstar written over, like power, like super, like it's a. You know, you Kobe Bryant, the Lakers should have drafted him. It just becomes a superstar. So you may look at the pulse of the heart. I don't even want to say heart because that'll be wrong. You may look at the pulse of the energy that he brings versus Jaylen Brown. But in terms of the basketball stuff, I would think that Tatum is a much better basketball player all the way around than – Jaylen Brown, but Jaylen Brown probably is a different type of leader with more kind of, I don't know, that vocal grit grind to him, where Jason Tatum is kind of like the pretty dude who just, you know, going to put up some shots, play some defense. The box scores are going to look great, and at the end of the game, he ain't sweating.
So we all know that Jason Tatum has this, you know, like a lot of players do, I do, an infatuation with Kobe Bryant, right? Mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving has it.
Oh, I thought it was me you had an infatuation.
No, you would think that, Key. But, like, obviously that comes from his relationship with Kyrie and then Kobe and all these guys. And but it's interesting, like, the demeanor of who Jason Tatum is.
It's not as much like Kobe.
It's not as much as like Kobe as Jaylen Brown's is more like Kobe's. Like, if you ever spend any time, Key, with Jaylen Brown, it feels so similar. Like, there is a swag and a confidence. And I'm not saying that Jason Tatum lacks this at all.
It's like there's a little anger underneath it. Yeah, there's a little anger underneath it.
Like, last night, he's in Draymond's face, barking at him, like, going like, it pops a little bit differently.
That's when Key is talking about he ain't sweating. It's like Jason Tatum
he ain't
is
really
happy.
Sweating.
His play comes from joy.
Well, no, joy. He's competitive. I'm not going to say he's extremely competitive.
I get it, but there's, like, a certain joy to his game where Jaylen Brown, you get the sense that he's trying to hurt you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, he's angry all the time. Like, he needs to play his best when he's angry.
If Tatum went to the cup and dunked on you, he's just gonna dunk on you. It's just a dunk. It's not like Jaylen Brown or Kobe. If Kobe was gonna dunk on you like a Jaylen Brown, he gonna grab his chest and he gonna let you know I'm ripping your heart out. Well, Tatum just gonna dunk and keep it moving and going back and play defense.
And Jason Tatum's like so smooth with it. Right, Jaylen Brown has a little bit more, it's a little bit more of a pop, 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 pop. It's like herky jerky, energy spurts, bah, bang on you, you know, shoot a pull up. It just looks and feels so different. And that
not as smooth, but like with
watch
a little
tomorrow.
More
smooth is just different.
Yeah,
look at the difference in the sweat tomorrow night, though. Jaylen Brown gonna be sweating everywhere. Tatum gonna be nice and just you know, like
point.
He never played and he got on some Creed cologne or something, man. And doing the game.
We're going to have to get into Klay, too, today, guys, because I've been saying he's going to have his supernova game. They're going to win that game. That was not – he played well. He shot better. That's – what I saw last night was a regular Klay Thompson game. That's what Klay Thompson looks like. He shoots it well, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not Klay going supernova. Don't get it twisted. That's just Klay being Klay. I still say Klay is due for that. Oh, my God, what are you going to do with this dude game? And I still say they win that game.
But would you say that had they won, though? Would you honestly say it
wasn't? Yeah, no.
Because if you win, sometimes when you win, it looked different.
It does, but Steph, if anyone was getting hot like and bringing him back, it was Steph, not Klay. Klay was just hitting his shots like he usually does.
Yeah,
but if you win, you're not approaching it the same way. You're looking at it and going, oh, he was shooting the ball extremely well.
Yeah, I might put that in the column, hey, look, I told you that was going to happen column, right? And I get credit for it. I still don't see,
like, if the Warriors had won, like, you know, people say, oh, that's a Klay Thompson game. I'm like, I still don't think that's a Klay Thompson game.
Neither.
I think Klay Thompson has a different kind of chokehold on the game when he puts his imprint on it.
He scored 41 points in 3 minutes. How'd that happen?
I'll tell you, look, I expect Klay to get back to his rhythm, and he still has a bigger opportunity game, but I still wonder about Jordan Poole, man.
Yeah.
Like, Jordan Poole is a dynamic guy off the dribble that has a different kind of bounce to his game, and he's been averaging 12 points during the NBA Finals. He's got to average 19 points
during and when the, during they the need it, season. Don't. Hey, Jordan Poole can't wait until Steph already got the job done
like
to start
two.
Cooking, like in game two. Give Steph some help when he needs it, because Steph is having the finals I've always been waiting for him to have. He can't do it by himself.
He's 22 years old, man.
Yeah,
you always talk about Boston being their first time in the finals. It's Jordan Poole's first time in his finals, trying to be that dude in clutch moments. It's hard when you're actually in the game and you don't have a double-digit lead.
Today is a huge day for one sport's future. That's next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. And we have the man himself with us now, ESPN golf analyst, my old pal, Michael Collins. There he is, Santa.
MC,
what's going on?
Where you in the car? Where are we going?
Well, I literally just pulled up. I'm playing in the BMW Charity Pro-Am on the Korn Ferry Tour. So me and Ken Griffey Jr., he just jumped out the car because we got a tee time. And, like, he goes off at 8:02 and I'm 8:13 right behind him. So we've been playing practice rounds and stuff like that together. And I think this course is in Spartanburg, and then the main course is in it's called Thornblade in Greenville, South Carolina.
I had to get the Ken Griffey Jr. mention.
Yeah,
that was
a humble brag.
I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm hanging
humble
out with Ken Griffey, no big deal.
Ken Griffey Jr., yeah, in the back.
So Canelo's playing in front, and Ken Griff. So we need Griff and Canelo and Anthony Anderson all had a match and stuff like that.
Big
so,
time.
You know,
look at that.
Tell my man, Collins, I said, what's up, man?
So I will.
The LIV Golf Tour starts today, Michael, with the biggest names, Phil Mickelson and Dustin Johnson. What kind of an impact do you think this whole situation is going to have on Phil Mickelson's legacy?
See, now that's a funny word to use, because a lot of people try and throw that legacy out there as far as, you know, I'm going to stay on the PGA Tour because it's all about legacy for me. Well, why don't you go to the gas station and see how much gas you can get on your legacy card? When you call the electric company, tell them you want to pay with your legacy.
I know. So, hey, but Michael, Phil Mickelson not having a problem keeping the lights on.
Yeah, he ain't having a problem with that. But also, like, when it comes to his legacy, we already know what he did in the past. We already know what he did on the golf course in the past. So it's not like you can change the record books. You're not going to take his name off of anything. And here's the problem. The PGA Tour right now, they thought they had a fight that they could win. But they've never come up against people that had this kind of money. And with the golfer that I spoke to a couple of golfers and a bunch of caddies as well. But one of the golfers I talked to yesterday out here on the Korn Ferry Tour, he's had plenty of time on the PGA Tour, and he's out here on the Korn Ferry Tour as well. And he said, this isn't a new problem, that the middle tier dudes on the PGA Tour have been feeling like the tour hasn't been listening to them. That they've been airing their concerns with the PGA Tour for years and years and years. And everything that they've been talking to the tour about has been falling on deaf ears. And now, even though Phil Mickelson is like the face right now, Phil Mickelson basically heard what all those dudes were saying. Even though he was part of the top tier of dudes playing on the PGA Tour that wasn't really affected, right? So, you know, all the old school and the old guard on the PGA Tour, they want to keep everything the same because it works for the dudes at the top. And you can talk the guys into the middle into, hey, man, this is the best system that we got so far, so we don't want to change it. And the dudes at the bottom were, hey, this is going to be your opportunity to kind of become one of those big name dudes and become a star and make all that money. And the caddy that I talked to said very much so that the PGA Tour is a lot like UFC. And no matter how big and famous those stars get, they never get a boxer's purse, right? And you'll understand that, Max, right? Like, it took, you know, dude had to go fight Mayweather. Conor McGregor had to go fight Mayweather to get that $100 million paycheck, right? No matter what you do in the UFC, you're never going to get a $100 million paycheck, right? We're talking about, you know, guys now trying to fight Tyson Fury to get that big, giant paycheck. But how many guys get
Francis
to do that?
Francis Ngannou, you mean.
And
yeah,
so, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. Ngannou's going to fight Tyson Fury. He's going to get paid more than he would have ever made at the UFC. Well, if you translate that onto the PGA Tour, it's kind of the same way. You know, the PGA Tour is, I mean, you don't want to call them a monopoly, but in a way, like, they've been the top dog, and they've never had anybody threaten what they want to do. Well, you know what? They weren't planning on losing this battle, but they weren't planning on losing Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau jumping ship, Patrick Reed jumping ship. And then you start thinking, well, at least our partners, they got our back. And now the USGA came out and was like, nah, anybody who wants to come play over here, you know, we got a former US Open champion. What's going to happen at Augusta? There are four Masters champions playing this LIV Golf Tour. Dustin Johnson, Sergio Garcia, Patrick Reed, and Phil Mickelson. You think Augusta's going to tell four former champions, nah, you can't come play?
No way.
I don't think so.
No way. That was my next question for you, Michael. Like, you know, if you have all these majors that are still going to allow these players to play, like, if you're a player, why would you play on the PGA Tour? If they're giving away the bag at this type of money, it makes more sense to go earn as much as possible if you can still participate in these majors. I guess my question for you, though, is what do you think the PGA Tour, they're expected to announce the punishment against players who left for the LIV Tour? What is that punishment going to be?
Well, here's the deal. Has the PGA Tour ever announced any punishments ever? That was the one thing about the PGA Tour that was a huge complaint. Not necessarily from players, but from us in the media. Was like, hey, if this dude did something wrong, what was his punishment? We don't announce fines and suspensions. That was one of the contentions why Vijay Singh, when he took the tour to court, one of the reasons that they settled was because he said, nah, we're going in the courtroom and you're going to open your books up and you showing everybody everything that you've done. And the tour was like, how much? Let's be nice. And now you're going to tell me you're coming out because there's a competitive tour? Now you want to decide to tell people what their fines and suspensions are going to be? Like, that is not going to play out well. It's another battle where it's like, there are some times where posturing can gain momentum and win you something. But in this case, now you're doing it and it's like, now you're throwing that posture out there, bro. It's a little late. And how are you going to find and punish somebody who said, I quit? That's like, yeah, man, I just broke up with that girl. Bro, she moved in with somebody last week. What are you talking about? You broke up with her.
Michael.
Who are you fooling? Stop.
Michael Collins, ESPN golf analyst, host of America's Caddy on ESPN Plus, joining us this morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Outside of Tiger Woods, who would the PGA Tour be spooked about leaving outside of Tiger, even though Tiger ain't going nowhere? As of yet.
Just think of it this way. And this, I'll tell you two things. Number one, so the young dude that I talked to out here who's on the Korn Ferry Tour, like, again, I'm not throwing anybody's name out there because I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. But the young guy who I talked to has not been on the PGA Tour, and he's fighting to get on the PGA Tour. And he said two things. One, that tour and two of the young guys that are playing on that tour that would have been going to Q school that would only get them on the Korn Ferry Tour, this is that life-changing opportunity for them, and you got to take it. You just have to, because part of what everybody goes to college for, the reason people get a job, is to be financially stable for life. How are you not going to do that if you're a young dude and you like, well, I either got to fight 160 dudes a week and with no guarantee, or I got to play on a team and get guaranteed 120,000 every time I tee it up, plus the team perks. That's one thing. Number two, the name that you're talking about, Keyshawn, that's Ricky Fowler. Mm. Like, the fact that the dude that was the post, one of the poster childs for the PGA Tour, the dude that was like everything that the tour was hoping they could get out of marketing and companies and like all of that, the perfect guy for the PGA Tour, for the posters and whatnot, if he dips out, which he's reportedly going to do, when that dude dips out, now what?
Yeah.
Now but, what?
So you got somebody going in. Why wouldn't somebody go?
Rory's the perfect example of, for him, he is fine with the status quo of how the PGA Tour is. He is good to go with where he sees himself in the future, captaining a Ryder Cup, being part of those teams. He's also a dude who has taken the money once before and even said it in his last press conference where, you know, he was only driven by money and it didn't necessarily work out for him at first the way that he thought it was going to work out for him. Not that it didn't work, it just didn't work out like he thought it would. But that's a guy who's already got a couple hundred million in the bank saying, well, if I already got the money, why do I need to go over there? And it's the same thing as the reporting we heard about the offers that they may have made to Tiger Woods, which was high nine figures that Tiger turned down. And when you hear stuff like that, you're like, well, in that case, and this is what the young player said to me, in that case, it's like, how much is enough, right? If you know you're secure and you haven't done anything stupid with your money, like, you're going to already take care of the great-grandkids. Like, how much do you really need? And so for a guy like Rory, there isn't a whole lot of motivation for him to go over there at this time. But we don't know what the future is going to hold. Like, what's this going to look like in 2 or 3 years? And that was the one thing that the other young players said to me, and that was, for those young guys, the opportunity is amazing. For the guys that are over there that already got a bunch of bank, to him at least, it felt just a little bit of a greed grab. And it's understandable. If you're a young guy and you're like, this is the opportunity of a lifetime, why are these dudes who already got all this money going over there?
So, MC, I guess my curiosity leads me to the point, if the majors were to decide that they wouldn't let players from the LIV Tour participate, then what kind of effect do you think that would have on the players that did leave if they were to take that stance?
If they were to take that stance, it might change things a little bit. But I think, like, what you heard from the USGA, and I think that where the Masters now with those champions that are over there, the position that they've been put in, you know, people forget that the PGA Tour does not run a major, right? The PGA Championship is run by the PGA of America, not the PGA Tour. Two separate organizations that, if you look at history of golf, that was not a fun split between the PGA Tour and the PGA of America. At one time, they were one organization, and that was not an amicable split. Now, of course, now everybody's friendly, you know, and you think about what happened when COVID first hit, what Commissioner Jay Monahan did to juggle the schedule to help with all the major championships in 2020 was something that he does not get enough credit for and something that makes him one of the greatest commissioners of all sports because of what he was able to do. That being said, the only other big one out there is the Open Championship, which is run by the RNA, the Royal and Ancient. And so are they going to go against what the USGA said? Like, if your tournament is called the Open, which means it is open to anyone, and you are not going to allow players to play, what you going to call it? The kind of open? The sort of open? The only a few of y'all can be in the open? Like, it doesn't behoove them to do something like that, because in the long run, the backlash I don't think would be worth it. So if the majors were to say, hey, we messed up, we're not letting these guys play, then number one, there'd be a whole lot of lawyers making a whole lot of money. And number two, then later this year, say late September, early October, it might change the decision that some of the guys that are on the fence deciding whether or not to go over there, it would probably change some of their minds on whether or not they went.
Interesting. My big takeaway is when the status quo does not benefit enough people, you could have a systemic problem, right? Someone can come in and disrupt, and that's what seems to be happening. The great Michael Collins, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, Mike,
I
have a quick question for you. Do you think Evan Wilner, our producer, can beat you in one hole? You think he can get one hole off you, MC? Yeah.
You know what? A blind squirrel can always find a nut every now and then, but they usually starve first.
That's the greatest compliment anyone's ever paid Evan on this show. He called you a blind squirrel. You should thank him for that, Evan.
All right, MC, I see you.
Thank you, Michael.
All right, y'all.
Michael Collins, ladies and gentlemen. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, presented by Progressive Insurance. One NFL quarterback's being told to stay away, and a Super Bowl champion says that's the wrong move after SportsCenter.
And now Smart sends it to Tatum. Drives by Curry, flips it up with a right hand and in. Another tough one at the rim for Jason Tatum.
What do I say, Mark? Go with force. Don't worry about the non-calls. That should have been an N1. This guy's a superstar and doesn't get the whistle. But he doesn't look at the official. He just puts it in the cup and walks to the other end. Can I get an amen?
Amen, Doris Burke. You heard the call from Doris Burke and Mark Kestenschur on ESPN Radio's. Jason Tatum scored 26 points. Jaylen Brown added 27. Marcus Smart, 24, to lead the Celtics to a 116-100 win over the Warriors in Game 3 of the NBA Finals. The Celtics outscored Golden State 52-26 in the paint, 22-11 on second-chance points. That's doubling them in both. It's the first playoff game under Steve Kerr where the Warriors were doubled in both paint points and second-chance points. Boston now leads the series 2-1. Game 4 is Friday, and Boston can be seen on ABC and heard right here on ESPN Radio. The top-seeded Oklahoma Sooners are one win away from their second consecutive championship after demolishing Texas 16-1 in Game 1 of the Women's College World Series. Jocelyn Allo and company mashed 16 runs. Six home runs in the win, setting a new single-game Women's College World Series record for home runs in a game, six. Game 2 is tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. Would you like a guaranteed $75 million? Well, it's easy. All you got to do is lead the NFL in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns, and win Super Bowl MVP. Sources told Adam Schefter on Wednesday that the Los Angeles Rams and Cooper Kupp have agreed to a three-year $80 million extension. Kupp's contract is now worth $110 million over his remaining 5 years, including $75 million guaranteed, the most guaranteed money ever given to a wide receiver. I'm talking about these stories and more on this just in today, 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN SportsCenter, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance.
I don't give it.
Careful.
Hey, toe the line, Draymond Green.
So.
Oh, a pain that throw he just threw and made in that highlight. It was painful to watch, man. God, you see that? You see the interception?
The contrast of emotions. When Key sees a good ball, when he's like, yo, that thing right there.
No, when he sees a good ball, he's like, ooh. Oh. He goes like this. He looks, he goes, oh. It's like a handoff. Oh, it's a handoff.
No, but the one he just threw, I think it was against the Texans and he got picked. That was painful to watch. Like, what do you – it was a clean pocket. Nobody around him. The receiver's running a nice in cut. He sells the ball over the dude's head to the other guy.
Yeah.
And just, I'm like, look at
this.
Here it is
on ESPN, too.
No. Like, seriously? Oh, my God.
Remember the odd couple, Oscar?
I don't care about the sacks. This is what I care about. That right there. Like, what are you doing? You threw it right to the other team with the white on. Your team wears orange, not white. No, you need to see.
Maybe that's what he needs. He needs a coach to let him know that. Teddy Bruschi, ESPN NFL analyst on NFL Live, You may have heard of this program, Key, on why excusing Baker Mayfield from workouts is bad. Listen to this.
I understand what Teddy is saying, but Teddy, come on, man. You know damn well Baker Mayfield can't go back in that locker room, and those players that don't want to be with him, they moved on from him. It's like, oh, okay, cool, we got Baker Mayfield as our quarterback. He was a guy that they didn't want. That's why they went out and got Deshaun Watson, because they couldn't stand Baker Mayfield to be their quarterback anymore. And Jacoby Brissett can lead this team to some victories. How many victories? I don't know. And in terms of Joshua Dobbs is a backup. And a lot of reasons, a lot of teams don't keep three quarterbacks on the active roster anyway. They keep two, one on the practice squad, one stashed somewhere just in case. But I don't see, there's no reason for Baker Mayfield to be at minicamp, in the building, nowhere around Cleveland. In fact, Baker Mayfield is in Austin, Texas right now, rehabbing his non-throwing shoulder to get it out, to get back to a place where, when he does get an opportunity, he'll be ready to go. So that just tells you right there, they both knew that he wouldn't be at minicamp. You can't bring that dude back in that locker room.
Sikita,
you can't do it.
I hear you on all that, and that makes sense, right? And as an athlete, I think seeing Baker in the locker room would be awkward. But if it depends on how patient you want to be, because if – I would ask you this, Key. Can Jacoby Brissett get them to the playoffs if Deshaun Watson can't play this year?
Probably not, but they didn't get to the playoffs with Baker Mayfield.
But who gives him a better chance to make the playoffs this year, Baker Mayfield or Jacoby Brissett?
It's silence on the other end. I would say a healthy Baker Mayfield – gives them probably a better chance to make the playoffs.
So Keith, this is, I hear what you're saying. To me, especially at first, like, you can't let Baker Mayfield back in the building. Come on. You just gave Deshaun Watson $230 million.
They don't want him back in the building.
Right.
They can't let him. They don't want him.
But how do you answer the following? If Deshaun Watson is completely unavailable to play, or mostly unavailable to play due to suspension this year, and you have a team that's ready to win, except at quarterback, right? And the question is, who's going to be the quarterback?
You want
to
raise his value.
And the AFC West is loaded, and you may have to win the AFC North, or maybe at best there's one wild card out of the North. You're not going to make it with Brissett, let's say. You're saying that? No, you're not going to make the playoffs with Brissett.
You might with Baker.
You might with Baker. Okay, so how do you address that?
Well, you address it by simply saying that making it to the playoffs is a goal, right? That's what you want to be able to do. But what about the other 52 members in the locker room? The other 52 members in the locker room, they don't want Baker Mayfield in that locker room, and I'm speaking for them.
So, in other words, you can't make the playoffs with Baker if they don't want him in the locker room.
No, they don't. Okay. Did you hear the players start to – flirt with OBJ coming back to Cleveland?
Yep. Hey,
did you know that? Why you think that is?
Sure.
Because Baker Mayfield ain't there.
The impediment to it is gone.
They like, good, man. You come home with us. We need you, bro. And they didn't say that when Baker Mayfield
was
there.
But wait, Key, that's you saying, to me, this is what I hear you tell, correct me if I'm wrong. What you're saying is it only looks like you have a chance to make the playoffs with Baker, but in fact, because the team doesn't want him there, you ain't going to make the playoffs with him anyway, right?
Exactly.
If they don't want him there, then that's the argument.
Exactly. But you can't bring him back in the building, and that's why the Cleveland Browns, as well as Baker Mayfield, made a mutual decision, Jay, to not come to minicamp.
I hear you, but let me pose this, Key. Sometimes in life, when people get humbled, things change slightly. So when circumstances become different, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm posing it. If there are lessons that are learned and somebody's value is down and the market is not what they thought it was going to be for him, and if you have this opportunity, if he is healthy and if he shows you, hey, look, I want to make a change.
He ate the humble pie.
I know it's a short term. I know I'm not going to be the long-term answer, but I can do the right things with this team. If his talent is slightly better than Jacoby Brissett, and he's showing that he's willing to make a change,
I want to hear this response, Key.
Why would you not want to give that an opportunity?
Key, how do you
increase his value?
How do you respond to that, Key?
No.
I don't know, man. I think it's something to think about.
You cannot. You just gave a guy, what was it, $230 million? Mm-hmm. Guaranteed.
But if he can't, Key, hypothetically, he's not allowed to play this year.
But you just gave a guy $230 million fully guaranteed money. Let's assume he's pushed to the side for now. He's on the shelf. The rest of the team doesn't want him. Not, it has nothing to do with what the owner thinks. It has nothing to do with what the coaches think. I'm talking about people in the locker room, the lockers next to him. They don't want him. They don't want him. They already have moved on. They are now dating someone else, Jay. You are like trying to force yourself onto this person, and they don't want to date you anymore. Stop calling my damn phone. Don't email me. Jay. Don't text message me. Stay out of my DMs, Jay. That is what it feels like you are doing
right
now.
Don't play yourself. Don't play yourself, Jay. It's not a test. That's what Key is saying.
God, Jay, don't show up.
He's not going to go out with you if you act too desperate.
No, but I don't need.
This turned awkward.
Here's what, Max. I don't need you showing up.
Boy, that's harsh. He just broke up with you in a rough way.
I can't believe he broke up with me on national TV.
Back to the NBA Finals next, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
My heart is broken.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Guys, 82% of the time that a team wins Game 3 of a Finals, an NBA Finals, knotted 1-1, they win every time. 82% of the time, they win every time. What was that? What was that?
60% of the time, all the time.
It works.
60% of the time, all the time.
That's Anchorman. That was the first Anchorman.
Yeah. No, but I thought it was somebody in a press conference for real.
It works every time.
It works every 82% of the time. The team that wins Game 3 wins every time.
How about our crew having all that sound ready? I see you guys working.
Have it ready.
I see you working back there.
By the way, that includes the Warriors. They're 0-3 in Game 3 of NBA Finals when the series is tied at 1-1. They lost in 19 to the Raptors. They won the title in 2015 after falling down 2-1, you know, after no one could play for the Cavs. They were playing 5-on-1, and they finally won down 2-1.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Guys, both of you guys thought the Warriors would win the series. So did I. I picked the Warriors in six. Not only did they lose game three, but Al Horford landed on Steph's foot-ish, whatever. He wound up with a foot injury. I guess it looked like bend but don't break type injury. Oh, I thought, you know, like but like just as bad as it could be before it's like, uh-oh, he's gone. But it didn't cross that to me just from the eyeball test, and Steph was able to play more, and Steph is talking about playing in game four. Does all of this change your opinion about who's going to win? What's so funny over there?
I'm laughing, Max, because I've had an experience where
what do you know about lower extremity injuries?
An alien,
I'm talking to you,
a person who's 6'9", 250,
yeah,
kind of lunges into my ankle, and you're like from the eye test, and I'm like from the reality test I've had, it's not that.
But what I mean is, there's sometimes Jay, I'm not questioning that.
No, I know you're
sometimes
not.
You'll see that and you'll be like, oh, he's gone.
Yeah, he's right? Done. Yeah, I'm with you. I gotta tell you, last night watching it, it was funny. Because I'm in bed, and I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, oh, God damn it!
Yeah.
This is what happens. He's playing at an MVP level,
yep.
Finals MVP level. And this is it. I was like, please don't let this happen where Max Kellerman, I have to come into work tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't perform well, it's going to be like, well, he still doesn't have the MVP finals. Doesn't have it.
Even you know, I call it like I see it. I think Steph's been tremendous so far.
Then my brain quickly went to, like, Key, let me do my brain. Like, this is the opportunity for greatness, right? Like, look, and granted, if he can't play well because he's injured, Key, it is what it is. But if he does elevate his level of play and this team is able to find a way to win a championship with Steph coming through in clutch moments, like his legacy is already set in my opinion, but boy, does that add a little different pop to it. It adds a little different pop to it, Key, regardless of what anybody says about it.
Yes, it does. And Steph Curry coming off that ankle injury was amazing tonight in game 6. He was 13 of 25 for, you know, that's how they're going to tee it up, right?
You got it.
He was 9 of 12 from 3. Amazing. And when you look at Steph Curry off that ankle injury tonight in game 6, it's just been amazing.
30
to watch
for 30. What if I told you that on the toughest night of his life yet?
And they're going to build it up that way. This is a story. Like Max said, you got to have a story, right? So here's the story. Steph Curry gets hurt. The ankle swells a little bit. He comes back. He's on fire in game 4. They're now moving on to game 5. He lights it up at home. They go back to TD Garden, and now the Celtics' backs are against the wall. Steph Curry comes out. He's on fire. He does his deal. They win a championship. We go back to game 3. We show all the highlights in slow motion. We show the shot. We live the moment. He's jumping up, holding the trophy.
No, Key, you saw the shot go in the air.
Don't interrupt them.
It's rotating, and then it cuts to the interview. They're still talking about it.
Don't interrupt this incredible 30 for 30 voiceover by Keyshawn Joseph Johnson.
Excuse me, keep going.
No.
But that's what the story is going to be all about. It's going to be about Steph Curry and the amazing things that he had to fight through. The beautiful daughter who has grown up right before our eyes. If we go back to 2015 and we relive the moment, his amazing wife, and then he look at the parents and the great way that they raised their kids, and now it's finally capped off with the final moment of the MVP trophy.
Isn't it
Steph
amazing
Curry.
That when music comes on, you just start talking differently?
Well, I got a lot of different voices in my head here from time to time. Well, not like that. But, you know,
that explains a few things.
I think I'm pretty sane. No, but that's the story. The story is going to be that way. They're going to talk about it. The single shot on Steph Curry sitting on the bench, the sweating, the moments tick down, the Max Kellerman biting his nails that it doesn't happen. He's going to try to give it to Wiggins.
You think I'm rooting for the Celtics? You're out of your
mind. No, you're going to try to give the trophy to Wiggins.
Oh, to Wiggins. Oh, yeah. Wiggins deserves the trophy,
Wiggins.
He played defense on Tatum.
Yes, He averaged 22.
I'll say this. No, it's right now, if you had to give out an MVP of the finals, I give it to Steph, even though they're down 2-1 so far.
Who do you give it to on Boston side? And Boston wins it. I give it to Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen.
Give it to Jaylen Brown.
If Boston wins it, they're going to give it to Jason Tatum.
As of right now, I would say, though, Jaylen Brown.
Through three games
right
we're talking
now,
about. Right now, it would have to be
Jaylen Brown.
But they going to give it to Tatum. Here's what I say. If Tatum keeps playing consistent the way he's playing, they're going to give it to him because it's a certain, you know, it's a snack, crackle, pop to it. He got the Kobe Bryant. They got all that. Man, they trying to give that. They trying to give it to Steph. If it flipped, they gonna give it to Tatum.
I want to go back to Jay's story about like here's the opportunity for like next level greatness, right? If he can overcome injury, I think a lot of the time guys like me in the media will set the question or so called. Oh, you're trying to spin the narrative. Where let me see what he can do now. A lot of times athletes have an allergic reaction to that because. You know this narrative that's being set up is very difficult for the athlete to fulfill. And it is. The odds are against them. Let's say it's less than 50-50 they can do it. And it's true. But that's the stuff that gets you into the highest stratosphere of greatness. When you do the things, you know, in retrospect, you know, okay, Muhammad Ali beat George Foreman or LeBron came back on the Warriors. But at the time, it wasn't going to happen. That's what makes it so remarkable. If Steph, forget about if he's hurt. If he just continues to play like he does and they win, that's an amazing thing for Steph. He hasn't done that yet. But if he overcomes injury and does it, I'm with you. It enhances it.
I agree. It enhances it. But I think the problem, Max, is when those questions are posed from the beginning, though, right? it sets a tone, or it creates this narrative that that athlete like has he has to do something so absurd. Like him averaging 30, I think, has changed your perspective, has it not, of what he's doing in the NBA Finals.
It's that he's doing it in the second half of games when they need it.
Okay, so that's one thing. And I say, hey, here's the upside if he's able to get through it. But for me, his legacy has already been set. I didn't need to see Steph battle injury and go next level.
But you're comparing him to guys, not all of them, but some of them, who were able to do that.
I agree,
right?
But those guys are different types of aliens, right?
Yeah.
So there are different levels of aliens. You see LeBron
James. That's what we're talking about, the highest level of alien.
That's what I'm saying.
From Planet X.
Look, man, I don't care what anybody says. You shake Keyshawn Johnson's hands, right? You want that to truck through you? You see my hand speed on the basketball court? You're like, yo, this
my free throw form. Different. I understand.
But like,
what you're
body types are different. So like, when LeBron James gets hit by somebody, he absorbs that differently than a guy like Steph, who's 6'2", 185.
Well, it's funny. Part of the Warriors dynasty, part of it, is because they saved so much money on that first Steph contract
because he
was injury prone. That sort of helped them put the dynasty together because they had this incredible player under an extremely team-friendly deal. And he has bulked himself up, and a lot has been made of it, to be a more, to have a physical frame that's better able to withstand, you know, the rigors of an NBA season and postseason. And look, that doesn't protect you from Al Horford falling on your leg. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I want to see the story, though. I want to see the maceration of Steph Curry's finals, MVP trophy journey in these finals, because it's a story that hasn't been told about him like it has been about others. You don't want to call it trials and tribulations or comeback player of the year, oh, my God, that type of story. But it has been smooth. Now, all of a sudden, he has an opportunity – to be the guy to erase all of the so-called narrative demons about his trophy winning in the finals MVP, but to come back off an ankle injury, whether the ankle injuries are serious or not, the fact that he left the game and it gave it, it's there. It's in writing, injury, ankle, and he comes back and he performs at a high level and he wins the MVP trophy. They're going to mention the ankle.
Yeah, we don't.
And it's going to be
the media
about.
Doesn't write the narrative. We read it. The athlete writes the narrative. The athlete, by what happens on the court, that's the story. And you know, our job is to find it, find the signal from
good,
the noise.
It'll be a really good story. It'll be a good ankle story, Jay.
See, like, I. 30 for
think
30
about
30
it. Isaiah Thomas did it in the Eastern Conference final.
The great ones.
You know, Michael Jordan did it. Michael Jordan did it with the flu game. I mean, it's all.
Was it really a flu game, though?
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you think.
I saw him fly.
All I know.
I saw him flying back.
All
in a PJ.
I know is he.
That's
all
what I
know.
Him
he
late,
was
late look, that night, I, early that morning.
Jay, all I know, instead of Gatorade, he was drinking chicken soup or something. So it doesn't matter, right? When you talk about it, what'd you say? The flu game.
Yeah, Willis really Reed limping onto the court.
Yeah. There you go. Here's one for Steph now.
Yep.
Here's one for Steph.
Hey, Steve Kerr, are you concerned about the injury, Steph's injury?
You see,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I mean, look, they're obviously key. There's major concern, right? I mean, when you have a guy who's averaging 31 points per game and he is, you know, the consensus finals MVP as of right now, not having him at full strength definitely hurts, especially when a guy like Jordan Poole is a very young player, 22 years old, has really not found his rhythm yet. When the game matters the most, right? Like, so when you're up by double digits and you're on the verge of pulling away and you help pull away in game two, that's one thing. Everybody's like, well, he's back. I'm like, well, wait. When the game is tight, that's a different circumstance to ask Jordan Poole to pull
Steph
through.
Steph needs a crime partner. He can't do it by himself. And Jordan Poole had his chest out when Steph had him up 12, 15 points. Then Jordan Poole went nuts. Steph needs someone to be there with him, a wingman, literally, so that he doesn't have to do it all by himself.
Well, remember
right?
at the beginning of this conversation when we first started the show at the start of the playoff of the finals, I talked about these young guys. What is it? What the young guys? What are they going to do? The first timers, the Boston Celtics first timers, the Jordan Poole first timer. Like, how will they respond? Is it going to be too big? Are the lights going to be too bright? And yeah, he became a little bit of a front runner in game two, but that was his role. His job was to be the front runner. Steph was out. It's time for you to take over and do something. He needed to build on that, though, and he hasn't built on it. It was one game, all right? One game.
We're still early in the series. See,
I also think this is another opportunity for greatness. We talk about these moments, right, to rise above. It does feel like over this past year, considering Klay has had 2 years off of basketball, that people have started to say, well, you know, the 1-2 punch in Golden State, you know, is, you know, Steph Curry, Jordan Poole to a degree, right? And Klay, you're giving Klay time to kind of find himself. People were wondering after having a torn ACL, a torn Achilles, will he be that version of who he used to be? Seeing him last night, right, it still didn't feel to me like a game six supernova Klay, right?
No.
It still feels like, yo, this dude has something that can go another level up. If Klay is able, you talk about the legacy of Klay, of Steph, if Klay is able to go up another notch, then all of a sudden now you're looking at this thing, you're saying, damn, Klay in his first year after not playing ball for 2 years,
huge opportunity
to find that supernova Klay in the NBA finals when it matters the most. And then it starts making you think about next year, Jordan Poole, having him back, you're like, yo, this team can win another two or three maybe.
Klay, well, the question going into the series for many was – and by the way, I'm trying to think of who it was on ESPN.com, had an article about it, like which second banana is whatever you want to refer to Jaylen Brown as, is going to have a bigger series that may decide it. And so far it's been Jaylen Brown. But Klay was Klay Thompson last night. He wasn't, as you said, game six Klay. He was regular, excellent Klay Thompson. It makes me think supernova Klay is in there. Mm-hmm. He's going to show up, and that's going to make the difference. Tim Legler said on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt the following about Jordan Poole. Listen to this.
I'm telling you, last night, Key, there are multiple times because when you get deep into the playoffs, rotations become tighter, right? So in the regular season, you see Jordan Poole against like that second unit that plays a little bit more. And now, since rotations are tighter, you're not seeing second units on the court. You're seeing guys play increased minutes. So now Jordan Poole is seeing Marcus Smart. Now Jordan Poole is seeing Jaylen Brown. And there were multiple times last night, he only took 8 shots, where my man caught the ball and did not look at the rim. Did not look at the rim or an angle to attack. It was like deferring to Steph and to Klay. And you don't need him to defer. You need him to be aggressive. That's why he's there, Key.
Yeah, it's like in football, you get an injury to somebody in a secondary, right? And the guy who's actually the number two right corner, you think, oh, I'm going to get the number two right corner. They like, nah, we rather have a safety come and play that corner spot than the number two dude because we know what you get ready to do to him. It's the same thing. Like, you get in the regular season, you're going to get certain guys, and then come the postseason, it's like, nope, you're not going to see nowhere near the minutes from that guy as you would in the regular season.
So this Warriors team, I liked partly because they have the core together, the non-KD core together. I mean, even Iguodala, though he's been hurt and he's old now, but the big three were really Steph, Klay, Dre. Right, like those are that's when you think about the Warriors, you think about those three guys. We talked about Steph, we talked about Klay and the opportunity now that there's injury involved and Klay coming back and Steph now with Horford landing on his foot, on his leg. Draymond Green played poorly. Draymond Green, who set the tone in game two, understood what the team needed, walked up to the line, didn't cross it, played very well, and they won a game they needed to win, played poorly in game three on the road, and they lost. And a reporter had a question, a writer had a question at the post, someone, a member, media member anyway, had a question at the post-game presser for Draymond about Draymond's podcast and how maybe could that have played into the loss. Listen to this.
So look, man, Draymond had as many turnovers as he did points. 2 turnovers, 2 points, right? 4 shot attempts. You talk about this was the best player potentially on the court in game two. He made that much of a difference. But I really do believe it is such a casual take to sit there and say, well, your podcast, it seems like it's distracted you.
Gave away state secrets.
From the moment in game three. So Draymond's been doing this podcast since November 15th, 2021.
Draymond Green, are you giving away classified information in this podcast?
I listen to all of Dre's podcasts because I love his insight and I love how raw and real it is, right?
He should just play basketball and stop concentrating on the damn podcast.
So
this is what I always find funny about, like, and Key, this to me feels more like traditional media because they would take this and run away with it. understanding that players and their thoughts have been doing this for a while now. LeBron James has a shop that talks a lot about common day issues or games throughout the regular season. Maybe nobody's done it during the NBA Finals, but Dre's the first to do it. But it's not like he's giving away state secrets here. He's not saying what their strategy is going to be in game four, game five, game six. He's interviewing people. He's talking about things that happen throughout the course of the game. And that's what he should be allowed to do. And even if it's taking 2 hours out of his day to do a damn podcast, say he was in the gym for 8 hours and he slept for another 8 hours. Fine. You still have another 6 hours to do something with your day.
Draymond Green, where were you on the night of June?
It's casual to me, Key. These are casual takes, man.
That math was wrong, man. That wasn't 24 hours.
What's 18 plus 6, Key?
Just calm down, man.
Hold on. Wait, I didn't major in math, but hold on. 19, 20, 21, 22, 20, 24! Once you have to go to the other hand, you know, like
I'm trying to confuse Jay, but look, it's a situation where people want to try to figure out a way to make an excuse so they can write something or say something about Draymond Green. When he talked post game about his podcast. He did it. He went and did it. It was funny. Yo, Emergency Podcast, we talked about it, laugh, joke, nothing. No one said anything. They lose, he played bad. Now all of a sudden it's a distraction. It becomes a problem. I mean, it's the wildest thing that you could ever hear. Even when guys didn't have this sort of setup going on in their careers, Jay, guys would focus in on post-career things, whether it's starting their businesses, doing the off-season. Oh, you're not doing off-season workouts with the team. No, I'm not, because I'm concentrating on when my career is over. Well, don't you think it's going to be a lack of focus? And it's like there's nothing to do with or not I'm going to be able to train and be ready for football season.
One thing, if whether or not it's causal, like when Odell went down on the boat and everything, I said it on TV at the time. Like, it's fine, cool, you can do whatever you want. But here's the thing. Can't drop passes in the game now. He dropped a couple passes.
Oh, God.
Everyone
had
connected
the
dots.
Nothing to do with him going to Miami. You know how many times I traveled during the season and got
never
back?
Never once.
Like, stop.
Never one time. You were in bed at 8 p.m.
And lost games and won games doing that.
Steve Kerr, he's the Warriors head coach, Jay.
Oh,
at the post-game presser about whether or not Keyshawn Johnson is right that Draymond Green's podcast is not a distraction, or maybe it is a distraction. Not like when Key was playing. He was in bed at 8 p.m., little glass of warm milk right by the bed. Had the pajamas, the hat with the little ball at the end of the hat, right, like in the cartoons.
Then it would be, he's getting too much sleep. He's over-preparing.
He's
over-analyzing.
He's sluggish. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is brought to you by Barbasol. Feeling great starts with a great shave, and great shaves start with Barbasol shaving cream. And for a limited time only, capture your Barbasol Jurassic World collector cans before they're gone. Key says one NFL team. I don't know what this says at the end here, Evan.
How about me giving away some free money?
Start the quarterback. That gives them the best chance to win.
There you go.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.